welcome to Fatal Flaw Podcast. It's been a while, but my name is Adele, and with me is my husband, Jay.
Hello again.
And tonight, we're going to be just catching up. We haven't podcasted for about a month now, due to...
business.
Business as usual, and due to just low magic playing this month. But we're going to be talking about some things that have been going on, and... just some casual talk about decks that we're building, and hopefully it'll keep your guys' interest long enough to make it to the end. So, tonight we're going to talk about what we've been doing since the pre-release that I attended, and some of the cards that we've picked up from Innistrad. Jay was in a tournament. When he traveled for business, he was in a tournament down in Alabama that he's going to talk about how he did down there. And we had our regular group got together Friday night, or actually Friday afternoon, I guess it was, for some afternoon magic, some afternoon legacy. And I built a deck. Actually, I tweaked my illusion deck for that, and for it's also now a standard deck. So that'll be our podcast tonight. So, hun, what cards have you picked up since Innistrad came out? Like, single cards. I know we bought a few booster packs.
Well, I got two of the Snapcasters now, which I was pretty excited to get a hold of. At first I was iffy, but once I started playing with him, I kind of realized that, yeah, this is a... I like him a lot better than the Dark Confidant, which right now is kind of the big card. But his flash ability and giving a card the ability to flash back is a nice surprise, and it's actually a very powerful ability. So I was pretty impressed with that. I got my playset of Mirror Mad Phantasms, which I'm right now hoping to build a deck that will make him actually viable. And just a few commons I've picked up along the way, too. Like, I got some Delver of Secrets, and I got my, the one that transforms into the 5-1, oh man, I'm drawing a complete blank on what that guy's called right now.
Well, one of the things I think that we just have not picked up yet is any of the dual lands from Innistrad. I didn't pull a whole lot in my in the pre-release, and we bought a box of booster packs, and I pulled a
the green and blue and the white and red.
Yeah, but I haven't pulled much of anything else, and so I haven't really found a whole lot of it in for trade.
Yeah, I think
everybody's holding on to them, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that they're the enemy colors, and that helps out a lot of decks that people have been trying to play.
Yeah, so who knows, maybe with the next set that comes out, there'll be some more that I can get my hands on, or people will be more willing to trade for them. But right now, I don't have any of the dual lands. I did pull a Liliana and a Garruk out of that box. I traded the Liliana, but I kept the Garruk around because I just really like his artwork, and I like his ability for the Innistrad block. I like how he interacts with the other Innistrad cards, and so I'm going to keep him around for a while, just for the sentimentality of it. I think I have him in my green deck, don't I?
I don't know.
Anyways, other than that, we've just been picking up a few odds and ends at the card shop that we've been needing for our decks. Delver of Secrets was something that we both picked up as playset of, because we realized how insanely crazy that card is.
A common that can become a 3/2 flyer for a single blue is... I like that a lot better than a Wild Nakatol or... even a Wild Mongoose. I think that's that is going to see a lot of play. I mean, you've already started seeing it in a lot of the Legacy decks.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's something that works well with blue, too. with instants and sorceries.
Yeah.
It just fits right in with a lot of decks, and it's a terrible, horrible creature to play against.
Especially since most blue decks are so heavy on the instants and sorceries.
Yeah, that's what
I meant. It's almost guaranteed turn two or turn three.
Yeah, that's
what you're going to be flipping him.
Yeah, it's a crazy creature, so we've definitely got our hands on those. Let's see, was there anything else that I was searching for a couple of other things, but didn't really find them at the card shop.
Yeah, and the pickings were a little slim at the moment, yeah. But...
And I am sure glad that I got a place at a Phantasmal Image right after M12 came out, because that's another card that's been put in a lot of decks since it came out. It's starting to go in. It just fits in a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if it sees plays in Standard, but then again, it's seeing play in Legacy also. And as soon as the next big Modern tournament, I guarantee you'll be seeing some copies of it being played in there too.
Yeah. So, anyways, do you want to catch up with what you did in Alabama?
Alabama. Yeah. Went to a free Legacy tournament while I was down there. All it was if you didn't pay to play, and the prize was just one of the DCI promo cards from FNM that was out of date, so it was a nice chance just to sit down, play a little bit of Legacy, which I haven't got a chance to do a lot lately, and it was really fun. I played Mono Blue Control, and out of the four matches I played, three of them went to time, which I kind of made some people angry with that, but it was fun. I played against a very well put together blue-white control that utilized Stoneforge Mystic and Batterskull. It had a lot of counters in it, but the beatdown of the Mishra's Factories was too much for him. And game two, I played against a aggro loam deck, and as soon as I threw down a back to basics on him, both games he scooped him up. It was pretty cool. It was an interesting day of Magic, to say the least. My buddy that went with me, he tried out to play a reanimator deck, and unfortunately he ended up not winning a single match that entire game. I think he ran into every single person that had any form of graveyard hate.
So how many people were at the tournament?
There was about 25, and it was a very large swing of people. There was some kids that looked like they were straight out of high school, maybe juniors or seniors. There was a guy there that was probably pushing 40 or 50, and everybody in between. There was females. There was people that were playing there was a couple that were playing Standard decks. There was a couple of people there that were trying out some Modern builds they were working on. And it was just, it was surprising, because you had people that were just getting started in the game, and you had people that had been playing for quite a while.
So how did you do overall in the tournament?
I went 2-2.
So not too bad. I mean, you didn't do horrible, right?
No, I was actually pretty happy with how I did.
Well, that's cool. And the name of the store? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Well, anyways, did you enjoy playing Legacy for free?
I did.
I know you missed your Legacy.
Any chance to play Legacy, I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, while Jay was gone, we did get together one time. No, I don't think we did we?
Didn't you do an EDH or something while I was gone?
Yes, we did EDH. Commander. It wasn't bad, but I don't... Number one, I don't like Commander. It's not my format. It's not that I don't like the decks. It's just... I don't like the format. It's just not my style, I guess.
I agree with you. At times it can be fun, but at the same time, it's...
Especially now that it... I mean, I don't want to sound mean, but now that it's sanctioned, you know, Commander now, not EDH, it seems like, you know, now that they've pumped out cards just for Commander, it seems a little bit contrived. It seems a little bit... It's not like it's not like the nerdy, fun EDH we had that we used to play.
Yeah.
it was fun to come up with interactions and stuff, and now that it's sanctioned, of course, you can net deck, and you can just come up with, you know, you can just go out and buy a deck. I don't know, and that wasn't the whole deal. The whole deal with the tournament was, we played teams. So it was me and another guy versus, you know, whoever the other team we'd play. Well, we didn't match up our teams according to deck or anything. It was just kind of like a free-for-all, choose your partner, and I guess I was the last one chosen, out of default.
I don't think it helped the fact that you didn't even have your deck with you.
Yeah, I didn't even have my deck with me. I was playing one of my daughter's decks, and both of our decks, my deck and my partner's deck, were blue, and they both were just, like, not meant to be together at all. And we lost everything. But it took, like, 4 hours to lose 2 rounds.
Yeah, that's EDH.
It sucked.
That's
bad. EDH. 4 hours of sucking. And so I just didn't enjoy... I mean, I enjoyed being with my friends and being there playing, but I just didn't enjoy the games, you know? Who wants to sit and just be brutally smashed for 4 hours, you know? So, I would rather play, like, what's it called? Not round robin. What's
Swiss?
It called? Yeah, where you all sit around the table and play against each other.
Oh, like, yeah, just multiplayer.
Yeah, I don't want to play teams. And I don't want to play, like, one... And then the other thing is they like to play one-on-one. Like, single against single, and... I hate that too.
Yeah, that's not the way.
That's
EDH
not Commander's
was
not meant
to be
played like that, and so I don't enjoy playing Commander or EDH
or whatever you want to call it out there.
Whatever you want to call it, I'm going to call it Lord Stack. I don't know. Anyways,
I'd like to. I'm hoping we can get some more Popper going.
I love Popper. Popper's a game I can get into.
Popper's a fun format. If you haven't tried it out there, hop online and look it up. It's you're building decks using nothing but commons. And if it has ever been printed as a common, don't let anybody tell you different, it counts. You can, even if it's been an uncommon in M12, but back in Odyssey it was a common, you're good.
Yep, it's Popper legal. So we had one, we got together for the Commander, and then every other week while you were gone, we pretty much were just like, something was going on, or we couldn't get together, or, you know, it just didn't work out. So, I hadn't played Magic in basically a month.
In a hot minute.
I was fiending for some Magic. And so, when Jay got back, we got the gang together again. Hoo-hoo-hoo, Scooby-Doo! Get the gang back together. And, we played on Friday afternoon, because it was Veterans Day, so we had the day off, and
we shuffled some cards.
Yeah, we could play in the afternoon. So, for that tournament, not really for it, I didn't really build this deck for that tournament.
But it was you built it so
I built
you could
it
test
to play.
It.
Yeah, I built it, I made sure I had it built so I could play that night. But, you know, follow a few different Magic players on Facebook and on Twitter, of course, and Google Plus. And I just saw that Jonathan Medina had put on Facebook, you know, a link to a deck.
Oh, so you're name dropping now, huh?
Yeah, I follow him along with 300 other million people. I just, that's where I got the link. I was just I was just throwing it out there if anybody wanted to go look it up. But it was actually a deck by
Todd Anderson.
Todd Anderson. So, anyways, he put the link on Facebook, and I clicked on it. And because he said something about illusions. And, of course, I had... The first time I saw a Phantasmal Image in Lord of the Unreal, I was automatically like, I have to build an illusion deck.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that in our podcast. I went through my illusion deck. So, I see this deck by Todd Anderson, and, you know, it incorporated some things from New Phyrexia and from Innistrad, and I was like, man, that looks like a pretty sweet tweak for my deck, because I had, like, Adaptive Automaton and some other slower cards in it.
Yeah, yours was a blue-black.
Yeah, it was like a blue-black control and removal.
Yeah, you had those Buried Alives and
it was a pretty good deck. I mean, it played consistently and it was consistently winning for me, but I saw on there that he had like an 85% win rate on Magic Online, and I was like, if that works anything close to like 50% for me, I'll be happy.
And you know? It does.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm going to go through my deck real quick.
It's pretty it's pretty stompy if
it's
you're...
Yeah, it's not exactly... Todd Anderson's deck yet, because I saw the link like on Wednesday, and I had to build it by Friday, so I also had to borrow two Snapcaster Mages from my friend on Friday, because Jay and I only own two total, and so Jay had them in his deck, so I borrowed a couple to play in my deck. So in my deck were two Snapcaster Mages. It plays Lord of the Unreal, a playset, which of course is the human wizard that gives illusion creatures +1/+1 and hexproof. Hexproof is that they can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control. It plays Phantasmal Image, which this card, if you don't have a playset of, go get one. Phantasmal Image becomes the copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it is an illusion in addition to its other type, and it has, when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it.
Which I think is pretty... I think almost every illusion that's been printed has that on
it. Yeah.
There might be a few from older sets, but I think pretty much all of them have that now.
I think that's the basic definition of illusion card.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
If you have your Lord out, it has hexproof, and you're copying. There's so many different interactions you can do with this. Every deck that I play against, I have a different interaction that I can do. I can copy my creature. Actually, it's funny, copying a Lord with your Phantasmal Image, you're making your Phantasmal Image into a 2/2 Lord, or going from a 2/2 to a 4/4
yeah.
Lord, because it's not only giving it the original Lord's giving it +1, it gives itself +1, because Lord says illusions creatures you control get +1/+1. So it's giving itself a boost along with the other Lord. So, I mean, when you're playing against a deck where they play a legendary creature, bounce that sucker out. It costs one blue and one colorless, and you could play it and copy that legendary creature and bounce that sucker out of the game.
I felt that pain. You copied my Teferi. And...
Yeah, I copied his Teferi and got it away, because Teferi's not cool for my deck. I have lots of instants. It plays a playset of Delver of Secrets.
That card is such a blowout if you drop it early.
Well, and the trick is to play Delver of Secrets turn 1 or turn 2, and then hopefully have a Ponder so that you can set it up to transform turn 3, or turn 2, or turn 3.
Yeah.
And make it transform, and then you can Phantasmal Image it and have two flyers out by, like, turn 5.
And that's tough to deal with.
Yeah, that's 6, you're dealing 6 damage. Actually, you're doing, if you have a Lord out, you're doing 7 damage each turn flying, which flying is, you know, obviously great evasion.
Yes.
It play and the other creatures it plays. I don't know if that deck played Phantasmal Dragon.
No, I don't think it did.
I think that's what I took out for my Snapcasters. But I play Phantasmal Dragon. It costs 4. It's a 5/5 flying dragon. But that's an illusion. And so it's something that I would play later on in the game. But I have that in there. I play a playset of Phantasmal Bear.
Which is another good early game draw.
It is, and if you lose him, it's not a huge deal.
Because it's a good way to bait out a counterspell or kind of removal.
He's a 1-cost 2/2 bear, and so you can kind of bait that out and then play your Delver next to kind of screw him over. I don't know,
the other day, you beat me down with those bears.
I did. I stomped his butt with 2 bears. That's all I had, and I just rammed you with 2 bears.
It doesn't hurt the fact that I had 6 land in my opening hand. Maybe I should have taken a mulligan. I don't know.
Yeah, you should have done that. And then I have 1 Stitched Drake in there, which I don't know if I like this card. I mean, he's nice. His extra cost is kind of, you know, if you have a creature in your graveyard, you have to, as an additional cost to cast it, you have to exile a creature from your graveyard. And he's a 3/4 flyer for 3. So he's not bad. But you gotta make sure you have a creature in your graveyard. So that's why I only play, why that deck only has 1 of him. I guess he's a great alternative to Phantasmal Dragon.
I think it's just an extra card for one of those early game ones that's died, whether it was your bear or somebody was able to get rid of your Delver.
Yeah. Okay, so for instance, I have Gutshot, which actually is red, but it costs 1 red or 1 Phyrexian mana, which is pay 2 life. And so Gutshot deals 1 damage to target creature or player. In Legacy, I would say it doesn't pack a power punch, playing in Legacy with Gutshot, because there are some 1/1 creatures that are coming out early game that you get rid of, and you really have to play Gutshot early game, because if you're playing it late game, it's not really having an effect, and it's actually hurting you, because you're taking life away later in the game when you don't know if you have an advantage or not. You know, like, you're trying to save your butt.
Yeah.
So, I just found it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, in Standard, it's powerful enough.
Yeah, because a lot of creatures in Standard have a 1 toughness, so.
And it speeds up your deck, definitely. It does. I was able to get rid of your Miramad with 1 of these.
Yes. Yes, you were.
That's the bad thing about Miramad, is he only has 1 toughness. I play 1 copy of Dismember, because I couldn't find any more copies. 2?
I picked 2? You one up the other day. I think there's 2 copies in there.
Okay, so maybe 2 copies. Which, I didn't actually play it very much. I played it maybe twice. Oh, yep, I do have 2. I played it maybe twice. Because it costs 1 colorless and 2 black or 2 Phyrexian mana. So that's 4 life that you're paying. And it gives a target creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn. And really what I was playing against, they were bringing out honking huge creatures that were way bigger than 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, in Standard, it probably does give an advantage. But for me, when I was playing on Friday in Legacy, it didn't do much. It did help, but it didn't do much. I play Mana Leak, which you're familiar with. And I play Ponder, which, like I said, Ponder is to set up your trigger for your Delver of Secrets. It's to dig out your Lord of the Unreal. It's to dig out your Gut Shots and your other instant, your removal.
Yeah,
I mean,
what more can you really say about Ponder?
What can you say about Ponder other than you get a card draw and a scry for 1? Ponder's awesomeness.
I enjoy playing me some Ponder.
And then I play Vapor Snag, which is from New Phyrexia?
Yes. And this was a very surprising,
yeah, 'cause I saw the
card.
I saw the chit-chat on the website. Actually, it was probably on Facebook. I saw the chit chat, and someone had mentioned how Vapor Snag was such a beatdown, and I was like, Vapor Snag? I never really had looked at it. And after playing it, I can say Vapor Snag can be decent.
It does.
Decently beating.
Well, if you think about it, Unsummon costs one blue and returns a creature to its owner's hand. For one blue and Vapor Snag, you're returning a creature to its owner's hand, and you're also, they're losing one life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful. It's a powerful little card. It's nice to have, like, bouncing humongous creatures that they... Well, one of the guys I played against was using extra mana, you know, green mana, coming from all sorts of different places, or using the artifact that creates mana.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
The Eldrazi deck.
Oh, the Everflowing Chalice?
Everflowing Chalice. And, you know, once he popped those off and made a huge Eldrazi, I bounced it back into his hand. And that hurt him because he couldn't play it again because he'd used all his counters.
That works pretty good.
Yeah, it was... I felt sorry for him. But anyways, that's great. I usually save that, too, for the bigger creatures, or the creatures that have flying, or the creatures that I know are going to be damaging to me. You know, I don't just throw them out there willy-nilly-like. And then for land, like I said, I didn't have a lot of the dual lands. So I played... The original deck plays Moorland Haunt, Glacial Forest...
Yeah, the Glacial Fortress and Seachrome Coast.
Seachrome Coast, which I don't have a playset of those. So, Moorland Haunt, some islands, a couple Terramorphics, you know, just to, if I need to dig for basic. And then I played Shimmering Grotto, which is from Innistrad, and it tap the land, add one colorless to your mana pool, or tap one colorless and then tap the land, add one mana of any color to your mana pool, which actually worked out pretty well for me because I could tap this for a red and play Gutshot, and rather than taking a life or taking two life, or I could tap it for a black and only have to take two life for Dismember.
Yeah.
I didn't add these in until yesterday, so I played a couple rounds against Jay and against one of our other friends that came over to build standard decks, and it actually did pretty good. I might not play a full playset, but it's nice to have as an added bonus, I guess. And then, let's see, I have a couple planes, and that's it for my deck. And, oh, I have Jace in there, because I don't have Snapcaster, so I have Jace Memory Adept in there. And
did he really do much for you when you dropped him?
I only got him out once.
Oh, okay.
Because I only have one in there, so... He's good interrupt because he mills 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if someone's top decking, it's sweet to make him mill 10 because... Anyways, I just have him in there as a... He's a warm body in the Sea of Illusions and Insectile Aberrations.
Yeah, there might be something better.
So, playability, I broke it out and played it on Friday night, and we played three rounds. The first round I played against the Eldrazi deck. No. Who did I play the first round?
Was it that mono green one?
No, that was last. Did I play you?
You played me second.
Okay, so
oh,
I
you played
play...
against that one that was using the Urza lands.
Yeah, the Eldrazi
to put out
deck.
The, those, like the Steel Hellkite and stuff like that.
Yep, the Eldrazi deck. No, he had Eldrazis.
No.
He had Steel Hellkites, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Straight jank.
What do you call it? Yeah. But yeah, he was using the Urza lands and making big Eldrazis, using Everflow Chalice and making the Steel...
Hellkite.
Hellkite. And so, game one, it took longer than I imagined, but I won game one, and then game two, he got me with the Steel Hellkites, and then game three, I won. So I won that round. Next round...
You played against me.
Against you, I won round one, lost round two, won round one. And you were playing...
Mono Blue Control.
He played... Was that the Pure Jank?
Yes.
Yeah, he played Pure Jank. And that was... You had Teferi in there.
Yeah, I was running...
So he's not Mono Blue.
Yeah, because he's blue.
I thought he was white.
Mm-mm.
Oh, he just looked
I was white. Running two Teferi and two Snapcasters in there, and everything else was counterspells.
Yeah,
and card draw.
Your Teferi would have gotten me if I didn't Phantasmal Image it.
Yes.
And so, that's another one of the interactions that I played that night was, and I had, well, the Eldrazi deck, I had a Lord out, and the bad thing about that deck and the green deck was they had no removal.
No. They don't. Well, green never really does.
Yeah, they had. Well, so when I got my Lord out, I had my Lord out, and I pretty much had it to stay. And then he brought out the nine something, the Pathrazer.
One of the Eldrazis.
Yeah, I think it was Pathrazer of Ulamog, and I Phantasmal Imaged his Pathrazer, and so it was a, and then it had plus one, so it was. One more than his.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of one-upped him. And that's another interaction that I had. I can either copy my creatures or copy his creatures. And if I copy his creatures and have Lord out, my creature of copy of his is actually one toughness and one strength higher. So I kind of have the advantage. It's nice.
It is.
So then round three, I played against a green deck. That was...
Wolves. Kind of a token.
Yeah, he created wolf tokens. The first round, I got him one turn before he made, like, 32 wolf tokens. I beat him one turn before he could make them. And then round two, I got him in, like, five turns with my flyers.
Yeah, because he didn't really have anything, did he, to block
didn't
a flyer?
Have any, well, he had that bird. That was it. The 0/1 rainbow bird. And I gut-shotted that on turn two. So anyways, I actually won the tournament with this deck, which...
Woohoo!
I was pleased with the playability and with the, like, the win rate of it. I mean, I was consistently winning and... excuse me. Even against you yesterday, and our friend yesterday, I won. I've won everything, every round.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Even though I win a game, even though I might lose a game in a round, I've won every round that I've played with this deck so far. So, who knows? It might be something that I'm going to be playing at Standard here pretty soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so anyways, Jay's going to tell us about how we have a DCI-sanctioned tournament, like, 2 miles from our house now. Pretty excited. You want to tell us about it?
So,
take it over to you, Jay.
About a month or so ago, I talked with the local card shop, because this place opened up nearby called the Warrior Zone, that originally was just kind of hosting, like, Call of Duty tournaments and things like that. And so I talked to the local card shop, and I got his business card, dropped it off over there, and what was it, Thursday or Friday, after I got home, I went over to the card shop to pick up some cards for Adele. And he has now associated himself with this Warrior Zone. So they now, on Friday nights, they host Standard tournaments, and the card shop hosts drafts. So 2 miles from the house now, we can go and we can participate in Standard, and hopefully maybe we can talk him into doing some other formats now.
Yeah, so I'm now that I have a Standard deck, I'm kind of excited to play some Standard. I wouldn't normally be up for Standard, but since we can't seem to get Legacy going, a DCI-sanctioned Legacy, we're hoping to sort of find a babysitter and go out on a date night.
Well, with this place, you have to be over 18.
Yeah.
Because they serve alcohol there also.
Yeah.
So
it wouldn't be a big deal, except, yeah, you can't go in the place unless you're 18. So hopefully we can get something together, go in and go this Friday or next Friday before we leave.
Something, yeah. Hopefully.
So anyways, I found that exciting.
I thought it was pretty cool, too. I didn't know if they were even going to communicate with each other to try and set this up.
Yeah, because you never know. Like, I still think that the whole having to be associated with the card shop thing, it works for the most part. I'm not saying, like, how Magic changed it doesn't work, but there are special circumstances where, I mean, it's kind of like,
well, especially
impossible
if you're living out in Podunk, South Dakota.
Yeah,
your nearest place you can buy cards is the internet most of the time.
Well, I'm not even thinking of those instances.
But that usually, if you're gonna buy a card, you go to a card shop.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, what about people that are, well, okay, what about soldiers who are deployed?
Yeah.
They don't even have access to a card shop. Their only place to get Magic cards is on, well, see, in a lot of the places, some places will ship to APO addresses. You know, some places will ship to the soldiers over in overseas. But a lot of the local, you know, a lot of the little shops won't.
Right.
They have to order, like, through Amazon or, you know, something big. And or they have to go to the PX and buy booster packs, you know, the little tiny tent PX.
If they even have them.
Yeah, even if they have a PX. So what about those guys? I mean, you talk about a market where Magic, the Gathering, could be making hordes of money. You're talking about military guys who have nothing to do except sit around and play video games and card games all day long.
And have money just burning a hole.
Burning a hole in their stinking pockets because they're making double what they made at home. And, you know, single guys have nothing to do. What do? They spend money. I mean, it's... And you hold a couple DCI-sanctioned tournaments over there, you'll have 300 guys show up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that's something that...
Wizards, if you're listening, here's the idea.
It's crazy. And we'll think about... Well, think about on military posts, you know? You hold a couple DCI-sanctioned tournaments, and you've got military guys getting into Magic.
And you'll have people coming out of the woodworks that are like, oh, I used to play.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the things that we've noticed is, you know, getting people in playing casually, they're like, oh, yeah, I used to play way back when, you know, during Ice Age and blah, 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 blah. And what do? They start buying cards, they start playing, and eventually they start going to tournaments.
Yep.
And they start enjoying the game again. But, you know, Magic has increased its players.
It has, especially with this new set.
Innistrad has lit the fire under their bellies once again, and there's more people playing Magic, so that's exciting. And also, it's exciting to know that more and more people are getting into Modern. I mean, you know, it's becoming a... I don't know how big of a format it's becoming.
Yeah, I think it's like, originally when it was announced and they held a couple of tournaments, it was huge. It's kind of, I don't know, quieted down a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I think one of the new...
But
the next,
know,
PTQ or something is supposed to be Modern, so
yeah.
Hopefully
but
after
you know,
that...
Also, you know, Innistrad is gigantic right now.
It is.
So, I mean, it kind of dwarfed the whole Modern thing. Innistrad is just... I mean, part of the reason I'm playing Standard is because of Innistrad.
Yeah.
I mean, when Phyrexia was out, I refused to play Standard. I hated the Phyrexia block. I hated the Mirrodin block.
Yeah, well, I
hated the Eldrazi block.
I haven't had a standard deck since I had Boros Bushwhacker put together, and that went away as soon as Mirrodin, the first one in the Mirrodin block came out.
I guess I shouldn't say New Phyrexia block, because New Phyrexia was in the Mirrodin block.
Yeah.
I corrected myself. Yay. But anyways, I didn't like that block. I didn't like the Eldrazi block. I didn't enjoy... I enjoyed some of those cards, but I didn't enjoy playing that set, you know, as a set whole.
I enjoyed drafting Rise of Eldrazi.
I know you
that
did.
That was fun. That was the last time I enjoyed a draft, too, so...
Yeah. But with Innistrad, you know, I enjoyed the set as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, not just like, oh, I like this card, and I like this card, and... screw all the other cards. I like how the Innistrad set interacts within each other, you know, with the other cards in its own set. I could play just Innistrad and have fun.
That's a bold statement, lady.
It is. I like it that much. Anyways, do we want to do... Well, I guess we kind of talked about our two cards of the week. Vapor Snag and Gutshot.
You did talk a lot about them.
I kind of covered them,
yeah.
I think. But we were going to talk about the two cards that we were kind of surprised about when I showed Jay this deck list, and we were kind of looking at some of the cards in it, I was kind of like, why Gutshot at first? Because I could see Vapor Snag, but Gutshot, you know, there's just this glaring red card in this blue deck. And
surprisingly, I understand now why they had that in there after playing against you.
Yeah. It's nice to have. It's a nice removal for standard format. You know, like I said, in Legacy, it might not give you as much of an advantage.
There's certain cards that, like, if I was going to use it in Legacy, I would have it as a sideboard card.
Yeah.
In case I'm going against, you know, somebody that's got a Birds of Paradise, a Noble Hierarch.
But, you know, like, there's other cards that might be a little bit more useful.
It's the fact that it's a free.
Yeah.
Two life, one damage. Kind of like why Mental Misstep was so powerful before it got banned in Legacy. It was a free counterspell for turn one.
Shh, don't say that. They'll ban Gutshot.
Yeah, I really don't see that happening. I don't...
I'm just playing.
I don't think there's been very many red cards ever banned.
They're gonna ban Gutshot because it deals one damage. Oh!
It deals with so much.
So powerful. Anyways, Vapor Snag was the other one I was going to talk about. And I kind of talked about that, how I was leery at first, but then I saw them talking about how it was a beating. And I was like, man, how could a one-cost card be a beating? And after I played three Vapor Snags on Jay's creature the other day...
That was pretty funny.
I had three Vapor Snags in my hand. And he played something.
I countered the first one.
He countered it. And just to be mean, I Vapor Snagged twice. Just to make point. Because I was winning. And I won the next turn.
Yes.
But I just needed to make a point.
I don't have anything to say about that.
Do you feel like less of a man when I beat you?
No. It just was really disappointing the way that deck handled.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you want to talk about your deck? You kind of talked about it.
I touched on it a little bit. I'm trying to make something new for Standard, since this is the first time I'm going to be playing Standard, like I said, since I played Boros Bushwhacker. And I'm trying to do a mono blue with Mirror Mad Phantasm, just because I really like that card, and I want to make something. I want to make it work.
Okay.
And I'm also... I've been kind of...
Well, and you helped our friend build a deck.
Yes, alright. I've...
Yesterday.
We helped our friend put together Solar Flare.
I didn't help. I sat and critiqued everything, okay. But I didn't really help.
But you helped him test it.
I did, and I beat his butt.
But he put together Solar Flare, which I was originally thinking about putting together, but he had more of the cards, so I showed him the deck list, and he put that together. And it did pretty good. I was surprised.
I thought it was slow.
Yeah, it was a little more controlling than when I first read through the deck list.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought it was a pretty good deck.
Yeah. And he also wants to build a werewolf deck for Standard.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome, because I love the werewolves in Innistrad. I think they're sweet. That was what I played, mainly what I played for the pre-release.
See, I like the ones that, once they transform, they don't have a chance of transforming back.
There is a werewolf. The one that regenerates.
But it doesn't transform back?
I don't think so.
Okay, but I like the...
I'll have to look him up, but I don't think he regenerates. I mean, he regenerates, but I don't think he ever transforms back.
I don't like their power and toughness and all that, depending on what your opponent's doing. That's just me. That's why I liked Delver of Secrets.
Yeah, yeah.
And, what was that other guy? Civilized Scholar. The one that transforms into the 5/1 red creature.
Yeah.
And the black ones...
Cloistered Youth.
The black ones, I think I would like to try. Like the vampire that becomes the bat and back.
Yeah.
Or the other one.
Cloistered Youth doesn't transform back.
Yeah, that's the white. Well, there's also that white, the militia that transforms.
Yeah. But anyways, I think a werewolf deck would be cool.
You could see.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Any shout-outs or anything?
Not really.
We're kind of doing a short podcast tonight since we didn't really have a whole lot of playing going on. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about more next week.
I'll tell you what, next week I'll keep working on my blue deck. And Either next Friday or the one after that, next time we record, I'll talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Let you guys know how the Mirror Mad Phantasm worked out.
What deck did our daughter have? She didn't get to play for our tournament because...
I think she was going to try that werewolf.
She has a werewolf deck? Yeah. She's getting really good at building decks. She...
I think the sealed that you guys went to.
Yeah, the pre-release we went to, she built her own deck. And, I mean, she was one rank below me in the rankings.
Yep.
I mean, she beat out grown adults. And she's 11. And she womped on some people. And she does pretty well at our Friday Night Magics, too.
She's played my Affinity deck. She's used my burn deck a couple times.
Yeah, we joke and say that she's our prodigy. We're kind of pruning her to become our grinder. It's a joke. Because we don't have the ability to go out and pull, you know, like Kansas City Open was the weekend that Jay got back, and we so totally would have went to that, but he had just gotten back and it was like
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It seems like every time...
The trip would have been too much, and it would have been too soon after already traveling from Alabama home, so...
It seems like every time they show up, I'm either gone,
yeah,
or I have business I gotta take care of, and I just really hope one of these times I'm gonna be able to go, and I want to go and do the actual Legacy Open, not just the side event like I did the one time I was able to go.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get to see Sarge again up in Wisconsin.
Yep, that would be fun.
We'll go up for the holidays. Maybe we'll do a report on how the Legacy scene is up at...
If any of you are listening from Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Fountain of Youth, great place to play.
Legacy. Well, I mean, probably great place to play any format, but they have Legacy tournaments.
Yeah, they do their Legacy tournaments on Sundays.
Sunday afternoon.
So if you're up there, come join us, because we are going to try and play.
Yeah, we're going to try and make it there when we're up there. Okay, so I think that's it for the show.
I got nothing else.
Okay, so we will see you again next week, and this has been Fatal Flaw Podcast. My name is Adele.
I'm Jay. Holler at your boy.